It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery.
So there is a internet beef going on between two small guards. One currently employed, the other isn't. And it all started because of a random basketball account had a video of some NBA players going hard in an open gym against, you know, just guys, not even other professionals, just guys who happened to be there. And they were going hard. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. was in it, some others in it as well. So the account asked, and I'll be specific since this started a beef between Trae Young and Pat Beverly. Honest question. Why do NBA players play so hard in random open gyms in the summer, but give no effort in the All-Star game with millions watching? Well, Adam Silver will tell you, we're a highlight league. That's why. But Pat Beverly saw this video and this caption and said, because All-Stars take the game for granted, not one All-Star on the court, good bump. And as I look at the video, he is right. I don't see an All-Star in there. I see a Tim Hardaway Jr. That's really the only real recognizable player from what I can tell in the video. I'm sure there are others, but that's the one I can tell. I can tell by the haircut and how he played. Trae Young responded. Like, Trae Young is an All-Star, but he's one of those guys where it feels like you make the All-Star team when other people don't. Not because you were so great.
Also, like, Eastern Conference All-Star is normally pretty easier to get into.
So, your point is correct, but he is a four-time All-Star.
Yeah, so he makes it a lot.
He makes it quite a bit. I think he made it this year because of an injury. I think someone. I don't think he was in the initial voting.
That makes sense because when you're perennially, like, the 7, 8, 9
seed. The play-in,
They're not exactly rushing to put you in the game.
I believe he finished. I don't know how the voting went, but I think Tyler Hero made it as an initial All-Star, and that was his big competition for that final spot, and then he made it later because of injury. So he is an All-Star, four-time All-Star, and Trae Young responded to Patrick Beverly with, relax, let us speak for ourselves. And that led to Patrick Beverly going on his platform and telling the world that he knows people in Atlanta and other players around the league and say they don't want to go there because Trae Young is there. And, of course, Trae Young would not let that slander lie. And he sat down, set up a camera. I don't know if he had the same people who do Kyler Murray's promo did his. He sat down, did a 12-minute video about why Patrick Beverly shouldn't be talking about this. Because Patrick Beverly, you know, in his eyes, he would say scrub or not as important as Trae Young. It led to a sit-down 12-minute response. You know, you mentioned how if you're a Cardinal fan, you feel less confident in your guy.
Yeah, no.
If you're a Hawk fan and your star guard is spending 12 minutes going after Patrick Beverly, of all people, you're like, you know what? Yeah. You know what? I don't care what Patrick Beverly said. He's right about you. He's right. Why are you spending 12 minutes talking to Patrick Beverly? All of this based off him quote tweeting something from a random basketball account about All-Stars. And you know what? The gist of it is the account is right. All-Stars don't play hard in the All-Star game. That's why we have all these different machinations that Adam Silver wants to get done. At its core, the video and the caption are right. They don't play hard. That's why the All-Star game has lost any luster that it had. But let us speak for ourselves.
Yeah.
Your play speaks for yourself. you don't need to speak. Every time we watch you guys go out there, and I'm not even a big hate the NBA, the product. In fact, I'm nowhere near that. But if we're having a discussion about the All-Star game, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Trae Young, you guys don't play hard. And it's fine. You know what? I'm fine with you not playing hard because I don't care about the All-Star game. Other people would like that to matter more. For those people, I get why you might be upset. For me, it's the All-Star game. I don't care to talk about it the next day. There's something on HBO I can watch. That's fine. Sunday night, right during prestige TV time for HBO, I'm watching something else. I'm good. My weekend at that point, I've watched. There's probably not a lot of sports on at that time anyway. But whatever had happened between
Four Nations, hockey?
Possibly. Whatever had happened up until about 7 p.m. Sunday night, I'm good on sports during that time of the year. I'll just go do something else. It's fine. I can watch anything at that point. I don't need to watch the All-Star game. So that's me. But for other people who want to tune in and watch it, the account is right, Trey. Play harder. And don't get in verbal fights with Patrick Beverley. That's why you are the Hawks.
I think I could go for 3 minutes.
12.
12 is
he sat down at a table for 12 minutes and talked about why Patrick Beverley. He pretty much all he did was aggregate everything people said about Patrick Beverley and put it in a 12-minute video.
ChatGPT, yeah. Mean things.
Yeah,
to
mean
say
things to say about Patrick Beverley. Look, Kevin Durant's petty. He's had issues with Patrick Beverley in the past, certainly. But I don't think he's filmed a 12-minute takedown of Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, no. His tweets are too sentenceless, you know?
Yeah.
Keeps it moving.
Yeah. He'll laugh at you. He'll say something very insulting.
Yeah.
And I'll move on. A YouTube video, 11 minutes and 56 seconds of Trae Young responding to Patrick Beverley.
He uploaded it to YouTube. He's a YouTuber, apologizing for something he's done.
They did in a previous video, people were upset about
Allow
it.
Allow me to clear the air.
Yeah. And yet, yeah. We're getting close to training camp, too. I'm not one who says shut up and dribble, but if I'm a Hawk fan, get in the gym. Get in the gym. We are supposed to be pretty good this year. We made a lot of acquisitions that people think are going to lead us to being pretty good. The East is weak this year. Work not on your jump shot. Maybe get in a stance. I don't need you to be Patrick Beverley, but perhaps get in a stance. So our point of attack defense isn't a complete embarrassment. That's all. Oof. I don't know that I have ever had 12 minutes to respond to anyone at any time. I don't know if I've had the free time for it.
No. But 12 uninterrupted minutes of talk.
Yeah, this I don't know that they're edits. I just think he sat down and said, I got something to say. And there it is. You can find Trae Young talking about Patrick Beverley on his YouTube channel. Apparently, it's at From the Point TY.
Oh, because he does have a Twitter podcast.
Okay, he has a podcast.
So he has the infrastructure to, you know.
To do it.
Turn my mic on. I got something to say.
Yeah.
For 11 minutes.
You want to watch Trae Young take down Patrick Beverley? Go to Trae Young's YouTube channel. It's just called Trae Young.
One and a half times speed, maybe.
You treat it like a podcast you need to get through.
Yeah, while I'm eating dinner. All right, cool. Got it.
And he's got his glasses on.
Professorial.
Yeah, professorial Trae Young. Oh, okay, we'll move on. Let's actually hear from someone that matters, at least on Sunday. Trae Young's got time. Before his presence matters at any point.
Watch out. You might get a YouTube video coming your way.
I mean, it's mid-September. He doesn't really matter right now. In October, he'll start to matter more.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud matters now and certainly on Sunday. He has not had a great start to a season. He's acknowledged it, but he was asked a question. How do you get better? What you need to get better in or at? And this is what CJ Stroud had to say. I caught Sean. That's on me.
I don't know. Everything. I can always be better. I told D'Amico the other day, if anything he sees or anybody sees I can be better in, let me know. You know, I think my process has really been good lately. I see the field well. I'm putting the ball where it's supposed to be with the coverages and whatnot. And some things is just I didn't really get a ton of reps with some of the guys we're getting in the game at receiver. So that's a little bit of a challenge, but I think that's one of my biggest things, just being the coach on the field, you know, and taking that step. And it takes time. It's not overnight. So that's an area I think I can grow.
Sorry, I heard him, but I was watching a video identifying players. I think Tyler Kolek's in that video. And Malik Beasley.
Okay.
I mean, cleared of an investigation, trying to let NBA everyone know players. He's ready to go. Yeah, I knew they were NBA players. I was just trying to identify who they were. I think that's the great Tyler Kolek and Malik Beasley in that video. Not all stars, so Pat Bev's right on that. As far as CJ is concerned, yeah, everything can get better. Like, we played sound yesterday from Mina Kimes talking about the Texans and their infrastructure on offense and what things can be done. And she pointed to a lot of things. CJ was among them. There is no quick fix for this team on offense. There is no one thing you can do. Nick Cayley isn't where he needs to be. Their O-line isn't where they need to be. and their quarterback isn't where they need to be. Thankfully, they're getting healthier at wide receiver, and we hope that helps. They bring in two, they say goodbye to one. So that's a net positive, I guess. Justin Watson out, he's on IR. Berrios and Kirk are back. I didn't think we'd have a conversation about the Texans possibly being 0-3, even though we can acknowledge that starting the season with the Rams and the Bucks is tough. They're two playoff teams at your same level, so the margin for error is small. The games could go either way. You can look at the point spread and kind of deduce that. I thought they would at least get a split. I can't. 0-3 with the loss of the Jags.
That's
tough to imagine.
That means like everyone was wrong about this team.
Yeah.
Like where it's like I said yesterday, it's less even about being 0-3. It's the fact that your season depends on you beating the Jags and you don't do it.
Look, I know there'll be 14 games to go.
Yeah.
But the season is effectively over.
It is a funny thing where
if you lose to the Jags.
Where like if you start even like 0-2, like even if you get back to 2-2, that's somehow worse for your chances than going 1-1 to 2-2. Like yeah. It's a weird thing where it and there's a little bit of the Chiefs are also 0-2.
And the Bengals have lost their starting quarterback for three months, even though they're 2-0. So it's a little different 0-2. In the way that, okay, two teams we expected to be real contenders for the playoffs are either right there with you in the Chiefs or have lost their starter.
Yeah.
So there feels like there's certainly an opportunity to bounce back. 0-3, I don't see a path.
And there's like some, if there's going to be an 0-2 team to bounce back, it's going to be those guys.
And also,
it's going to be the guys with Patrick Mahomes.
Also, inherently, if you go to 0-3 to start the year, you're probably not a good football team. So how are you going to bounce back and win enough games?
And there is a lot of that dragging down the 0-2 stat. Of
course.
Like,
how many good teams go to 0-2? I guess the question
like
would be.
The Detroit Lions in 2008 also were 0-2. They all then finished 0-16.
Yeah, the real stat, and we got the research for that, is to look into teams who were 0-2 but were expected to be good.
Yeah,
like before the season started.
Win total was over 9.
Yeah, and how many of those teams bounce back to make the playoffs? Because we know the percentage is really low at strictly 0-2. The Texans were expected to win their division. So when we talk about that, that could be a different story as far of teams bouncing back.
Yeah.
We know in their somewhat recent history, this organization went 0-3 and made the playoffs. But I don't know if you've heard, Bill O'Brien ain't walking through them doors.
No. So. God help us.
Or thank God, however you want to put it.
So there's 10 teams that are 0-2.
Yeah.
And of them, I'd say like, it might actually just be all but the Texans and Chiefs.
Yeah.
You're ready to like throw dirt on. Or are just wholly unsurprised by it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Saints, Jets.
Yeah. I was
Dolphins,
thinking,
Panthers.
I'm trying to think because the Dolphins are likely falling 0-3 tonight. Their win total was it 7.5? I don't know, 8.5. I don't remember. So I was trying to see if they would fall in line with one of those teams who had a win total that might put them in a spot.
I don't think the Bears are 9.5 wins.
No, not in that division where you had three potential.
I think they're like
teams.
7.5.
Yeah. So the Texans are an outlier in that regard, along with the Chiefs, 0-2, but. With a win total and a prediction of winning the division.
Gosh.
So let's buck the trend. But the 0-3 thing, I don't know the percentages there, but it feels like
much worse.
Yeah, it feels like we are talking about DOA when they get back to Houston if they are 0-3.
Especially because Colts go to Nashville to play the Titans. Chance Colts run away with this thing at 3-0.
Have a 3-game lead 3 weeks in?
Yeah. And then they play the Rams and Raiders.
Like the Daniel Jones thing, he may be better than we thought he was going to be coming in. But the, hey, they're never going to punt thing, I'm going to say that's not sustainable. I'm going to guess. So there will be a time, I think, where the Colts come back to the pack as far as their efficiency on offense. And, hell, maybe they're just the 2024 Saints.
Yeah.
That's something you can hope for.
There's a chance of that. I think... I'll take the more on punts, on half a punt.
You're going to go over?
Yeah, I think they get one punt out.
Is that something you can – it's not Prize Pick time, but is that something you can do in Prize Pick?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Maybe punt yards.
Possibly. All right. Sean, we'll talk about Prize Picks later. I'm talking about Monument Chevrolet now. It's pretty simple. You want a great vehicle at a great price. Monument Chevrolet is a place for you. And I say great vehicle because you hear the name Chevy. And, of course, their new inventory, Chevys. But if you're looking for something pre-owned, got great vehicles there, too. So if you're looking for a great vehicle, truck, car, EV, whatever it is, check it out at Monument Chevrolet. Go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and see what they have to offer. They've got good deals on trucks. In fact, I would say great deals because for them, September is truck month. They have the 2.9% APR for 72 months on that 2025 Silverado 1500. Of course, you've heard me talk about the EV vehicles in the past. They've got the EV Blazer there as well you can take a look at, and a great deal attached to that as well. So no matter what you're looking for, electric vehicle, a Silverado, a Blazer, a Trax, whatever is for you, Monument Chevrolet is going to have it. So check the website out, monumentchevrolet.com. Find your vehicle, pick it out, find the right price, and then head on out there to Pasadena for Beltway 8 and 225. You're going to meet the great people there. I've been out there a couple of times to find out about who they are and certainly shoot some commercials as well. I can back it up. Great people, and that's when they're not trying to sell me a car. So you know they're much nicer when they want you to get into a vehicle. They're going to put you in the perfect vehicle for you. They're not going to rush you. They'll go at your pace and make sure whatever you want is what you're going to love. All right, website one more time, monumentchevrolet.com. Head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Beltway 8 and 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We won't bore you with what we were discussing because I got offered a fantasy football trade in the ESPN 97.5 Fantasy Football League, where I have started off poorly thanks to Joe Burrow. Appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for your efforts. Even when you're healthy, you weren't good. And now, of course, you're out for the next 3 months. So.
Jake Browning time.
Did I bring him on as my waiver quarterback? I don't remember. But it'll be Michael Penix time, at least for now. We'll see how he does there. So trade I'm probably going to turn down because I got the best player in the trade. Tucker Kraft. Ain't nobody taking my tight end away. Not after what he did on Thursday night. All right, we'll get away from that. So we'll try to get back on time here, but we have some college football stuff to get to. Games themselves, but there's something that the coaches wanted and the coaches got. The spring window, the spring portal is closed. No, and it'll be no more. The NCAA removes the spring transfer portal window. Simply means a lot of guys would take advantage of that portal window after they found out their status after spring practice to get out. All right, this isn't going well for me. I'm not going to be able to play here. I'm going to go leave. Of course, the coaches are done recruiting. They thought they had their roster intact because high school recruiting is over. They had added their portal additions in the previous window. The spring window has been for guys who look at their state in the program and go, nah, not for me. I want to go play someplace else. I'm out. So the NCAA has voted to get rid of that. They are now in discussions about how long the winter window will be open and when it will start because some of it conflicts with playoff teams. So should they be managing portal stuff when they have to play playoff games and trying to win a national title? So that is something they're still working on. I will say this, the portal isn't real. We found that out last year when Xavier Lucas, after not being allowed to enter the portal, at least Wisconsin wouldn't enter his name into the portal, he still transferred to Miami, which set off Wisconsin suing Miami for what they deem as tampering, and also they believe they had Xavier Lucas under an NIL type deal. I forget the exact wording, but they feel like he couldn't go anywhere. Or at least they owned his NIL rights, and Miami couldn't be involved because he had signed a deal with them. It's very complicated because now the schools can be involved in NIL deals, where in the past, while it was never actually the case, it was set up to be where the schools were separate from any NIL deal that could be signed by a player. That was never the real thing. The schools were always involved. It's just that they had to tell people they weren't involved. Now they can be involved. They have their collectives, all that stuff. It's a lot of jargon. It's a lot of stuff that doesn't really entertain me, because for the most part, all I do is care about the games. But this is about player movement. And no matter what you do until the NCAA says you can't transfer, even if you're not in the portal, players can just go. It's a little bit more difficult because you have to certainly transfer to a school and already know that they want you, because the portal is more database where they could, or a team, at least what they said it was, the portals for teams to look into the database and go, hey, that player's available. We'd like to have him. When we all know these players are contacting teams and back and forth, and that's why they would enter the portal, because they know they had a deal in place and they know they had a spot to go to. Now, we'll see how the removal of the spring window affects player movement, but I got a feeling it'll be more like the Xavier Lucas model, where sure, there'll be no portal, but as long as you can enroll at another school,
yeah,
you'll just go there, and the kid will be out of one school one day, and he'll show up on campus in 2 days, and the first time you hear about it is when it's announced, as opposed to, oh, he's in the window, is he going to take visits, he's going to go here or there. That might still happen, but I think going forward, kids who know where they're going to go, they know they got a spot, they'll just leave campus one day. They'll leave Bloomington one day, wind up in Happy Valley the next day, playing for on the Nittany Lion roster, playing for Penn State.
Yeah, I think it's either that, or what you're going to see is this is a window to enter the portal. It's not a window to exit the portal.
Yeah.
So you can even, and this is probably not like the preferred thing to do, but you could take all the time in the world. You could take until after spring to make up your mind and to play the portal game. And all right, you know, if it's in March, that okay, I'll be going to whatever, Texas Tech this year. Boom, there you go. Because it's only a 10-day or 2-week window in January to enter the portal.
Yeah, you can stay in there as long as you want.
Yeah, it doesn't mean business has to be done in those 2 weeks.
Yeah, but as I said, even in January, oh, the window's closed, so my team that I was on, my school won't officially enter me into the portal anymore.
Yeah.
Who cares? I can unenroll here.
Withdraw from classes.
Withdraw and then go enroll someplace else, and I'll be just fine. It'll just be less of the Twitter accounts going, such and such here, enter the portal.
Ooh, yeah. Tough for Hayes Fawcett.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough. Oh, the man. Graphics, the decommitment graphics might lessen a little bit as far as
feel bad for
college players leaving and going in someplace else, but
pour one out.
It's allegedly supposed to make the coach's job easier. If the players want to take it a different way, it doesn't make it any easier. Less paperwork for the schools.
Yeah.
But a player can just go.
It makes it a little bit easier for coaches, but it's still that point where from November to January for 85 teams, it is like just absolute hell on wheels of coaching carousel, December high school recruiting, January portal, and then, I mean, you might even be playing in playoff games or bowl games, and then you have February recruiting, which isn't actually that big of a deal anymore. You're not exactly easing up on the like amount of work they have to do in that 2 month span.
Yes, and this is
that is still going to be hectic.
And this is one of the reasons that coaches who coach playoff teams want some change in that January window, because they feel like, why am I trying to win a national title?
They should just why?
And then having to deal with potential departures and actually, you know, still building my team for next year as well, because I got to be on it, because I know I have graduating seniors, I got to take into account guys who I know won't be around. So I still got to make moves to get ready for next year while I'm trying to go win a national title.
And I think last year the national championship game was on Monday, and then the NFL early decision day was like on Wednesday. You know, like the schedule is still very condensed. I've actually, and this is just like off the top of my head, maybe there's reasons they can't do this. That if you're going to do one portal window, why wouldn't you do it after spring?
I think it has to do with when they talk about building a roster.
They just want more certainty earlier?
Yeah, they want more time to adjust because draft decisions have to be made, and guys sometimes take that down to the wire. I think they would like things to happen further away from the next season.
Yeah.
So they can kind of figure out who they are and not have to continue to worry about that in spring and into the summer. I think that's they just want more certainty about who their team's going to be.
That makes
sense. And you know, we're talking about it. There was a prime example last year where the current starting quarterback for Missouri,
yeah,
was the backup quarterback at Penn State while they were going through their playoff run.
Just left.
Yeah, and he left.
Same thing at SMU with Preston Stone had the same thing where Kevin Jennings was throwing the ball all over the place in the first half against Penn State. And you're like, whoa, why aren't they going to Preston Stone? At least give him a chance, you know, see what he's got. And it's like the next day he announced that he was going to Northwestern. And you're like, oh, that's probably why he didn't play is because he was going to Northwestern the next day. So, yeah, you're still going to have that weirdness of the you know, backup quarterbacks for playoff teams just leaving in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah, particularly when they know the current starter is going to be back.
Yeah.
And Prabula wanted to be around the Missouri coaches as early as he can because he was situated to be in a quarterback battle, which he did win. Rashid, we see you. You want to talk Texans? Hold on. We're going to break. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? You are certainly welcome to talk about whatever you want to get to before we wrap it up. The number is 713-780-3776. Just a couple segments to go before we head on out. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Rashid. Rashid wants to talk to Texans. What's up? Rashid.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Rashid.
Hey, how you doing? I was listening to the tail end of the previous conversation, so I don't know if you already mentioned this, but, you know, the Giants, when they made their playoff run, they started off 0-2. And they weren't favored to win any game all the way up to the Super Bowl, but they grinded it out and came home with the ring. I was just wondering, how do they think they compare to the Texans? I'll hang up a little.
Are you talking about the second Eli title? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
What was that? How long ago was that? 2011. I got to admit, I don't remember a lot about the 2011 Giants. They were more established. Their head coach, well, their quarterback had already won a Super Bowl. Their coach had already won a Super Bowl. They had been there and done that for a while. So I get what you're saying. It's just I don't know how comparable they are, considering that Giant team was very veteran. They had done it before. And most importantly, their coach and quarterback had done it before. But it's tough. I just don't remember the composition of that team as a whole. I know they were a good pass rushing team that's how those Giant teams were built. So that's very comparable to the Texans are as far as their pass rushers are concerned. Who was on that team? Was Bradshaw on that team as a running back?
Yeah, it was Ahmad Bradshaw, Mario Manningham.
Yeah, he had his own catch down the sideline.
I forgot. It would have been Amani
team?
Toomer.
No, that's back in Kerry Collins' days. Was Victor Cruz on that team?
He might have been.
Rashid, it's a long time ago. And that's a long way down the road. I would like to start with being 1-2. And if they want to grind it out, and the difference is, I think, unless the Texans are a complete failure over the first month, there will be opportunities for them to be favored. Despite the 0-2 start, they're going to be favored in games as long as they're not like 0-4 and 0-5, and it feels like they've quit on themselves. So, can they get there? I didn't think they're a Super Bowl team to start. So, I think their offensive line is too big of an issue for them to get there. But if we're talking about making it back to the playoffs, I don't think that's out of bounds. I don't think the Colts are, I won't say as good as they've appeared, because you got to give them credit. I just don't think the Colts are this juggernaut who's going to run away and hide.
It's a little bit like the flip side of the Texans, where the Colts probably aren't as good as they've looked. The Texans aren't as bad as they look.
And to be fair, the Texans, they've been in two really competitive ball games. One where they had a chance to win the game, ball in their hands inside the opponent's, 35-yard line?
Yeah.
And in the other one, they had the Bucs at a 4th-and-10. And if they have their linebacker who had a free shot at the quarterback simply get him on the ground, they win that game. So they're not that far away from us having an entirely different feel about the projection of the season. They would still have some of the same problems on offense, but they would have been able to overcome those issues to get to 2-0. So this isn't about the Texans and whether the season is completely over. I think a lot of circumstances are in their favor to get back in it. It just is looking at the pass. And if you're going to go 0-3, it just gets even that much harder to crawl your way out. And as we talked about, you said you heard the tail end of the conversation. As we talked about, when you're 0-2, it's generally because you're not a good football team. The Giants, clearly, as you pointed out, were not bad, and they found a way to scrap and win. So I don't think the Texans are bad. I think in a different situation where the schedule laid out differently, they could very easily be 2-0 if those Rams and Bucks games were later in the year and they had what you would consider easier games. So it's just two games on the schedule. If that happened at different times, we'd be talking about them differently. They just happen to be at the front of the schedule, and it sets them up where things are really tough. You go 1-2 with the win over the Jags on Sunday, you feel like you're really in it going forward. It's just dropping 0-3.
Yeah.
It feels like the mountain may be too hot.
Leading
too
receivers
large to climb.
Leading receivers for the 2011 Giants: Victor Cruz with 1,500 yards and 9 touchdowns. Hakeem Nicks, 1,107, and then Bradshaw and Jacobs were the running backs.
So that Giants team offensively.
Good
weapons on that team.
Manningham was the third receiver. Jake Ballard. Now I'm just remembering some
tight ends. Yeah. I don't know how they
Chris
were
Canty,
composed of. Yeah, we hear them
every morning
on defense. You're looking at their depth chart right now, I imagine.
Yeah, or just the what's it called? Sports Reference.
Oh, their stats.
Antrell Roll.
Yeah, they had a good team. I think
Matthias Kiwanuka.
If we go man for man, since we're making comps to a team from 14 years ago, I mean, Eli was more accomplished because he had won a Super Bowl before, but we're just talking about talent-wise. I don't know that the Giants – well, I think the Giants were more talented offensively. You haven't mentioned the offensive line, which I imagine is better than the one we have here.
I would guess. Yeah, it would just be me remembering how they were thought of at the time.
Sean O'Hara, David Deal, Chris Snead, Kareem McKenzie. You would imagine that that unit was better than the one we have, because the one we have – isn't very good. So the comp is tough to make, but it is a team who showed themselves to be able to overcome a slow start. It's happened before.
And they showed that, like, you can't do those. Yeah,
we know it's not impossible. We it's just difficult. Gary, you want to talk about something Dan Orlovsky said? We'll get to that when we come back. I imagine something to do with a quarterback, because they only go to Dan Orlovsky for things like that, for the most part, being the ex-quarterback that he is. So, Gary, we'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow him, more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Thanks for the call, Rashid. But first, before we do all that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And unlike Dan Orlovsky, who only wants to talk about quarterbacks, I want to talk about running backs. In tonight's Dolphins-Bills game, I think that Devon Achane for the Miami Dolphins, I think he finds the end zone. I think he gets more than half a rushing or receiving touchdown. He's done that in 4 of his last 5 games, including the first 2 games of this season. It's been a disappointing season for the Miami Dolphins. Hasn't been disappointing for Devon Achane, finding the end zone both times he's taken the field this season. And let's go James Cook, another running back, this time for the Buffalo Bills. Go more than 86.5 rushing and receiving yards. Bills are going to be big favorites. They're a good chance that they are up in this game, and they're trying to bleed clock, and they're going to bleed clock by handing it to James Cook, who's going to rush for you know, close to, I don't know, 70 yards is what I need. And then a couple dump-off passes from Josh Allen to get him over 86.5 rushing and receiving yards. Then to add a little cherry on top, you got a max discount right now for Patrick Mahomes to throw for more than half a yard in Sunday Night Football against the Giants. So you put those in a little three-pick power play, boom, you're going to win 5.5 times your money right there. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Gary hung up. He had a question about something Arlovsky said. Gary, if you want to ask us, get back in. But at an early point in the show, I mentioned this. I said, Sean, have what you would consider a good goal celebration in your head. What you would do if you scored a big goal in a match. So this is from the U.S. Open Cup semifinal between Austin and Minnesota. It's in Minnesota. Austin is the team who wins. They score a goal to get to the U.S. Open Cup final. If you don't know what that is, it is something that is a U.S./Canada competition where the MLS competes. That's the highest level of U.S. of North American soccer. And then you have like the USL. So it's kind of how you might compare. I always like to give the comp of Hoosiers, like where everyone can win the same thing, even if you're a lower division. Now, Indiana basketball has changed that since where they do divide it by divisions, but it's top division, lower division, lower division. They all compete for the same thing. Even I think semi-pro teams can qualify and win it. So that's what it is. It's aside from the regular MLS Cup playoffs and championship going on in the country. So he scores at the very end. Of course, you're going to do a celebration. It's the game winner, maybe the last kick of the match. Sean's going to play the sound. He's going to be able to watch the video. And Sean, tell me, would you do the celebration this guy did considering what he's wearing?
Started, but it's a good ball for Gallagher. Final chance. Lifted into that area. Uzuni's header. Save from St. Clair. Fondre-Thal, he's in. There's your unlikely hero. C.J. Fondre with his second career goal. And it sends Austin FC to the Open Cup final.
Okay. Sean, C.J. Fondre scored the goal. He is born and raised in San Jose. I don't know if he's raised there, but born in San Jose, California. So an American scored that big goal. Austin to the U.S. Open Cup final. Would you like to tell the people how he celebrated his goal?
Yeah, he celebrated by running off to the side, ripping off his jersey.
Which is pretty normal in soccer.
Yeah.
They take their jerseys off all the time.
Yep.
Well, now you can't. You get a yellow card. But for big goals, you take it off, you celebrate.
Yep.
You're overcome with emotion. Swing it around. Celebrate.
Wave around your head.
Okay, that's normal. I saw you laugh in there.
Yeah.
And why did you laugh?
Because it reminds me a lot of a very famous World Cup goal.
Sure.
What was it?
1999. Randy Chastain.
Because like Randy Chastain,
C.J. Fondre?
C.J. Fondre is wearing an undergarment.
Yes.
On his upper half.
And what does it look like, Sean?
It looks like a sports bra.
It is a catapult, which measures your speed and all that stuff.
Heart rate.
I've seen
catapults before.
Yeah, we know what it is. But
it looks like.
It looks like a bra.
It looks like a sports bra.
So, C.J. Fondre, F-O-D-R-E-Y, probably the biggest moment in his young career. He's only 21 years old, was drafted in 2023. It's probably the biggest moment in his career. I had never heard his name. I'm not watching Austin FC soccer. Never heard of him before this moment. So, when it's your kind of introduction to a lot of the world not a lot of the world, but whoever cares about the U.S. Open Cup semifinal.
People on Paramount Plus.
Sure. When that's your introduction and you know you've got the catapult bra on, Are you ripping off your shirt to celebrate, Sean, or you find another way to show how happy you are?
Yeah, I'm not ripping off the jersey to celebrate. I mean, honestly, even without the catapult bra, because I'm a team guy, don't want to get the yellow card, you know?
Yeah, because who knows?
And I know the way I play, you know, those can add up quick.
But as a goal scorer type, maybe you would have a different way of playing.
Yeah.
So you don't pick up as many.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go with the Brandi Chastain.
I just don't want my first introduction to an idiot like me in Houston talking about it to be, oh, that's the guy who's wearing the catapult and looks like a sports bra. I know what they're for. They're very functional. A lot of guys wear them. It's just, I'm not ripping off the shirt if the first time I get introduced to a lot of people, it's me wearing a bra. I'm sure Austin FC has that moment on a lot of their social media accounts, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, TikTok. It's everywhere for them. It's a big moment in that young franchise's history. They get to go to a U.S. Open Cup final.
Listos.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
I'm keeping my shirt on. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, it's the biggest moment of this guy's career. You know, there's a chance that it's up there as far as moments of his career.
I just don't want to be seen running around in something that looks like a sports bra. That's
all. Probably something that's going to get replayed a lot.
Yes.
I'd prefer not to have to explain,
I point to the back of my jersey, look.
Where it says catapult?
No.
Oh,
where it says Faudre.
Not a sports bra. Not Lululemon.
You don't have that problem. You just keep your jersey on. You just point to Faudre. It's me. I did it.
Faudre,
then you right pound there. The badge on the
maybe
chest.
Maybe go for the kiss.
Yeah, you do all the things. You say my name, and then you kiss the badge to say all about Austin FC.
Yeah.
I ain't got to point the catapult to let people know. I swear, I'm not wearing a bra. I'm wearing a thing that tracks how fast I run and my endurance and my heart rate. Credit to Faudre for scoring that goal. It was a big goal. I'm sure big goal for him. Keep the shirt on. Because it's a moment for you. That's all.
And I guess he doesn't notice that he's wearing, you know, because it's 120 minutes into this match. Like, it probably is just like, whatever. He's not feeling that he's wearing it. And so it's just so overcome with emotion. Although that is weird. So overcome with emotion, you just rip off your jersey.
Well, what happened to Brandi Chastain?
it happens in soccer a lot. It is a weird scenario.
At this point, it's just, hey, I've seen it happen before.
Michael Jordan didn't rip off his shirt after he hit the shot against Utah.
He did some fist pumps in the past.
I think I would just do the fist bump. I'd do a fist bump and walk over to the supporter section and
celebrate with them. Kiss.
Oh, I was imagining it on the road.
You want to taunt the other supporters. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. You know, I think I would be a
– maybe slap the corner kick
Some guys
flag.
Like to kick it.
Yeah, I like that. That would probably, to answer your question, be my move, is to, like, do the, like, little flying kick.
Into the corner flag?
Yeah.
I like that. It can't be attributed to any one person, so it can't be said you're copying. I don't know if I go with the knee slide. There's always a chance that you screw that up.
Yeah, I don't like the knee slide.
So I might do some shadow boxing with the flag and then punch it, stuff like that. Good. Yeah, or kiss the badge, celebrate with the home supporters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get the compulsion to rip off your shirt.
Finger in the nose.
I don't know.
They yellow card that?
I don't know.
Or is that just an NFL?
I don't know if I've ever seen a soccer player do the slime celebration. I don't know. I don't think I've seen it. It's now something to look out for.
Yeah, I'd bring some of the NFL to the U.S. Open.
Do you do the Jameson Williams?
Oh, you know that. I think that plays.
You want to do the Jameson Williams?
I thought you were going to say that Dylan Stewart on the goalie.
No, I'm not going to let off a clip in the goalie after I score. Oh my! That is one moment. It's always how I'm going to remember Dylan Stewart.
Dylan Stewart. I mean, he's probably going to be a very high pick. He's a great player.
Yeah.
I think for you and I,
I'm never forgetting
we're
that.
We're always going to think of him.
He
and like it wasn't three
just,
shots.
And it wasn't even just a handgun. It was a shotgun into the chest of Jackson Dart, future starting quarterback for the Giants. Yes, he did get penalized for it.
He did get very much penalized.
And then it led to rule changes where I don't know if they're going to throw you out of the game.
You can't do gun stuff.
You can't do gun stuff. I don't know if it leads to an ejection. It was already punishable by an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Like that,
I don't know if they've taken it to another level. They probably have. Probably don't air it out.
Yeah, I guess you can't
on the field.
Rip off your jersey if you're a football player because it's just pads underneath.
Yeah, it's tough. So they have to find other ways. I would advise soccer players to find other ways. The jersey thing, the ripping off of the jersey never made sense to me. But there it is.
Big Petey Pablo fans.
Whatever you want to do to celebrate a game-winning goal, more power to you. But just know, we always got our eye out. And I will now
best moment of your young career.
Well, credit to him. I will always remember CJ Foldre in some ways. Oh, you're the dude who did that thing.
I can't guarantee that I'll know CJ Foldre, but I'll remember that guy who scored a goal for Austin FC.
Yeah, true. I probably won't remember his name.
Well, not exactly Brandy Chastain. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, the U.S. Open Cup final, semifinal.
Yeah,
not the World Cup final.
Do it in the final.
Yeah. Whoever you're playing, do it in the final.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Do it against Montreal.
Is that who they're playing?
I have no idea.
Same here. I'll find out later when the next guy scores. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen's up next. And then Jeremy and Joe follow him. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Maybe put one of his mom's blouses on, CJ. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.